Greetings again this evening in the precious name of Jesus. You know, we say that often, don't we, when we begin a service? Greetings. We use the name of Jesus. And it can become a tradition. It can become a habit. But it's a good tradition. But we don't want to forget the fact of really how vital Jesus is in everything we do. Everything we do. Our salvation, first and foremost, but in all of life. So we don't apologize for being here this evening and greeting you in His name. Whose name would we rather be here in than in the name of the Lord Jesus? We have our final question for the children that we had asked last night. What seasoning are we admonished to use to help us improve our speech? Back there. Salt. And you know, salt is a very good seasoning. It just improves the flavor of a lot of foods if you have a little bit of salt on it. Many tables have salt and pepper shakers, and salt seasons it. And so it's important that our speech is seasoned, not necessarily with the salt shaker, but maybe we could say with the salt shaker of God's Word, and allow His Word to fill us and His Spirit to live in our hearts and influence our hearts and lives so that the things we say can be seasoned in a way that it's more tasty, it's more palatable. That doesn't mean make it so soft and in the gospel try to water it down so people it doesn't prick their conscience, but there are nice ways of saying things, and there are crude and rude ways of saying things that we need to be careful. And let the seasoning of God's Word season our speech. Thank you, children, for your participation this week in finding some of those answers. This evening, we are at the last evening of these meetings, and I think it was a couple nights ago one of the brethren said something about seeming like the week has gone fast, and I wasn't so sure at that point. But I actually feel more this evening like the week has gone fast. And it's been a blessing for us. I just want to thank you as a congregation for everything you've done for us. You made it very comfortable and convenient over at the little cottage where we stayed. Our needs were well supplied. The meals that you provided for us in the evenings, and just the fellowship. I feel very much at home, and it's been a great blessing for us to learn to know some of you, some better than others, but we have been blessed this week. And so thank you very much, and feel free anytime to come visit us at Pelkey. There's a lot of nice scenery there. Porcupine Mountains aren't far away. We're not that terrible far from Munising. It's a little drive from Sini. Some of you go there a number of times, quite often. So look us up. We'd be glad to have you. This evening, I'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 12 for a couple verses. We're not really going to spend our time in this chapter, but just titled the message tonight, Seven Wonders of Heaven. You know, we're in a struggle here. We're in a battle. We have an enemy of our souls, and he wants to drag us down. He wants to destroy us. He hates God. He hates us. And if he can destroy our souls, that's what he's after. And I believe tonight the devil knows that he is in his last stretch. And he is out to destroy anything that's good, anything that is of God. And we don't want to allow him to do that. God has a blessed reward for those who are faithful tonight. Our brother mentioned we're not Elijah. We're not Daniel. We're none of these prophets in the Old Testament or the apostles of the New Testament. But God has called us as his children, and he has made it possible through him that we can be faithful. It's required of a steward that we be faithful. It's not that we have to be workers of miracles like some of them prophets did, just plain old-fashioned faithfulness. That's what God's looking for in our generation. And so we want this message to be encouragement to us tonight to be faithful. God has a reward, a tremendous reward for those who are faithful. And it's a blessing today to serve God. There's rewards every day for faithfulness. But he has a great ultimate reward planned for his people. Let's not miss it. Let's not miss it. Let's not let anything cause us to miss this eternal reward. Seven wonders of heaven. And I know heaven's going to have a lot more than seven. But we want to look at seven. Seven things that I think will be a wonder in relation to heaven. I'd like to read these first four verses of chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We already mentioned that we have an enemy that's out to destroy us. And I'm not here this evening, not going to spend a lot of time trying to interpret a lot of things out of Revelation. It's a good book to read. Some understand it better than I do. But we have an enemy tonight that's out to destroy our souls. And we don't want to give him a foothold. God has tremendous blessings for those who, again, are faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, we have the example of some of the faithful. It's called the faith chapter. And in Hebrews 11, we have in verse 8, it speaks of Abraham. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. His sights were beyond this earth. He had a higher vision. He was looking beyond. There was a city that he had his sights on. And that made the difference in his life and the choices he made. It just made all the difference. And I believe it'll make a vast difference for us too, what we are focusing on. In verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now tonight, it's true, we don't want to just serve God for reward. We want to serve God tonight because we love him. We know he loves us. He's done so much for us in providing Jesus for our salvation. Without that, there'd be no hope for any of us. We'd be lost tonight, a people without hope. Because of Jesus, we have an eternal hope this evening. And so we serve him out of hearts of love. But it's true. We look forward to the reward, don't we? There is a reward. It pulled some of those through in the past, I believe, that were facing persecution and suffering and faced a lot of challenges in their lives, opposition. But their sights were beyond. They were on the eternal. And that reward helped pull them through. And I believe it can do the same for us. Let's keep our eyes on the goal. And it will help us in times of difficulty. Okay, seven wonders of heaven. You've probably heard of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and I don't know what they all are, but I had to think of that. That's kind of what, I guess, gave me this title for the message. I believe the pyramids of Egypt were one of those, and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. I think those were two. I don't know what the rest are, but wonders. But you know, where are some of those things tonight? The pyramids are still there. I'm sure they have a lot of wear, but some of those things, I think, have disappeared. But heaven is still there. Abraham had his sights on it. It was his goal, and it's there for us tonight. We don't want to lose sight of that fact. This evening, seven wonders of heaven. The first one I have here is, I believe that one of the, I think we could dare say, the greatest wonder of heaven is the fact that there we will see God. We will see God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. We have Moses here in the wilderness. He was leading the children of Israel. And we know there's hardly anyone that we can read about that had a more personal or a direct relationship with God in the Old Testament than Moses. He met with God. God spoke to him. And we almost could say face to face, and yet he didn't see his face. But a tremendous relationship there between God and Moses and communication. In Exodus 33, verse 18. I'm in the wrong book. Exodus 33. Verse 18. Moses says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And God said, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Even a man like Moses, who had this very intimate, close relationship with God. He says, you cannot see my face and live. Well, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. We'll look at a few verses here as we go through this message tonight. Revelation 21, verse 3. He says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now there's a sense in which God is with us tonight. His presence is here. He goes with us throughout the day. But we can't actually see him. We can't see him here tonight. We know he's here, but we cannot actually see him. Chapter 22, verse 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. Seeing the face of God. Envision that tonight. Try. We can only try. I think as you read Revelation and you see the Apostle John trying to explain some of these heavenly eternal things, it was beyond words to really explain it. Different times he says it was like as unto. It was like this, but it was the best he could do to explain what God showed him. The face of God. Try to envision that this evening. We talk about that. We're talking about it tonight. We're looking forward to that. That time. Can you fathom that reality of someday, if we are faithful, we can see God face to face? There's something about someone who is in authority that sometimes makes us a little fearful, makes us a little trembling. I was some time back in a courthouse when there was a court case going on. It didn't involve me, but I was there. And, there's something kind of intimidating about that man in the robe up in the back. He's a man of authority. What he says, that's how it's going to be. And that judge is a man of authority. And God is also one of authority. He is all powerful. He is over all. And yet I believe when we come into his presence and we see him face to face, I don't think there's going to be any fear. I think there'll be reverence, there'll be awe, but no fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Today, again, we experience the evidence of his presence through his power in our lives, through the Holy Spirit, to overcome sin, to live for him, to be victorious, but then face to face. We mentioned earlier about one of the earlier services about, I believe it was here, about Morris Yoder at his presentation that he gives on the universe. Amazing. If you've never seen it, you should take the opportunity if you can. Amazing, some of the pictures he has to show and the things that he shares. The vastness of the universe, the beauty of it. But when we get to heaven, we can see the God who made it. The God who made it. The one who created all of that. The one who formed, loved us so much, I'm not sure what word to use, but he devised the plan of salvation for our souls to redeem us. He loved us that much. We'll get to see Jesus, the one who died for us, in reality, in person. I believe tonight the greatest wonder of heaven will be to see God in all his splendor and be there. We sometimes sing that song, "I stand amazed in the presence." And there's a sense in which we can experience that today. But someday it will actually be face to face. Praise God. Wonder number two, Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And then in chapter 22, verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Wonder number two, there will be the complete absence of evil. Complete absence of evil. Perfect holiness, righteousness, love. No trace of evil there. You know, today we talk about the conditions of the world and of this nation. We see the corruption. We see someone mentioned this morning about when things go into default mode, it always goes downhill, doesn't it? It's always downhill. And we see that in the world today. It's downhill. It seems like it's rapidly spiraling downhill. Things are becoming worse and worse. Sometimes we have people come in the store and they say they're sure glad they're glad they're old. They're not young, that they have to live this next, be the next generation and live in the conditions of the world the way it's looking today. Well, I don't like to think about that way too much, because we have young people and we don't want you to be discouraged. God has you here for a reason today. It's true, the world is becoming worse and worse, and the Bible says it's going to be that way. As it was in the days of Noah, what do we expect? That's what we're going to see. But don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. We can look into the scriptures of faithful people, faithful men and women, faithful young people that stood for God in some very, very evil times. But they were faithful. Our brother tonight mentioned Daniel and how he was where he was, and yet he was untainted, it seems like, with all the evil in his surroundings. He was a candle in the midst of darkness. And that is possible tonight for all of us and for you young people tonight. Take courage. The darker the surroundings, the brighter the light if we live for Jesus. So don't be discouraged. But someday there will be no more taint of evil in heaven. Totally gone. There'll be no more struggle. You know, even though we commit our lives to Jesus today, we make that choice to follow him, we seek to turn our back on sin and on evil, we still have to contend with the flesh. We still face temptation to evil. But someday, it's gone. It's all gone. What a blessing. Ephesians chapter 6, we're told there what we should put on for the fight that we're in. We are in a battle, as we said before. Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That doesn't sound real nice, does it? But that's the battle we're in. It's a life or death battle. Someday, it's over. It's over. Evil is gone. There'll be no need to stay on guard. The Bible tells us, watch and pray that we don't fall. We won't have to anymore because evil's gone. Today we must, but someday we won't need to. We'll be inaccessible to Satan because he'll be cast in the lake of fire. And we will be free from all evil. Praise God. Perfect rest. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. And praise God, he's made a way that we can resolve the sin issue in our own lives. All have sinned. All have committed iniquity. But through Jesus, it can be washed away. And we can be prepared for this wonderful place. Wonder number three. The results of the curse of sin will be gone. Not only will the evil itself be wiped away, but even the results of the curse of sin. Revelation 21, verse 4. You know, today, even though we're born again, we have the new nature as Christians. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We put off the old man, we put on the new. The fact is, we are still all surrounded by the curse of sin. It's everywhere. We feel it in our own bodies, don't we? We feel it. It's there. And there's all kinds of results from this curse of sin. Revelation again, 21 verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Praise God. Passed away, off the scene, never to come back. We know what sorrow is, don't we? We know what tears are. We know what death is. We know what pain is. Physical pain, emotional pain. We've experienced some of those things, some more than others. We know what sorrow is in relation to losing loved ones. Sorrow because there's those of our loved ones maybe who are unfaithful and have turned their backs on God. We sorrow for our own failures. We have regrets because of those things. We have anxieties. We have burdens. We have sickness. Someday, that'll all be past. All be over. No more results to the curse of sin. We teach the law of sowing and reaping, and it's a very true thing. There's reaping for what we sow. But you know, I believe when we get to heaven, then the reaping for our sin, even though we've repented, we've been forgiven, sometimes there's things we need to reap for the bad choices we've made and the things that we've done. But when we get to heaven, even that will be over. Praise the Lord. We'll have reached our destination. No more results of the curse of sin. David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." What a reward for faithfulness. Wonder number four. There will be perfect worship. I have enjoyed this week fellowshipping together with you here. It's been a blessing. I've enjoyed the singing. And I'd like to encourage you to keep that up. That was a blessing. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And then if we turn to chapter 7 in Revelation, I think we can see here a scene of worship. Verse 9, Revelation 7, 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. What a scene of worship. Someday, if we are faithful, we can be part of that worship. One of the beauties of that is that God himself, the object of our worship, will be there. We can bow before him. We'll be able to sing in perfect harmony. No distractions. I've heard accounts of people who have said they've had an experience that they've heard angels singing. And I don't know how many of them are always true. Sometimes we hear stories that you don't know. But the emphasis that I heard was how it was just so beautiful, just beyond human description. And I think that's what we'll experience. Beyond what we can imagine today. Worship. You know, a lot of our time here as we worship, we gather together Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday evenings, revival meetings, different times. You know, what does our worship consist of? Well, it consists of singing, praising God, giving thanks. But you know, a lot of our teaching, a lot of the preaching we hear and so forth is encouragement to faithfulness, just like tonight. Warnings about the dangers that are out there, that the devil has out there, things to deceive us and lead us astray. We talk about obedience, and that's very important. We must today. But as I was thinking about this, isn't it going to be wonderful when we get to heaven? We don't have to warn about deception. We really don't have to encourage to faithfulness because we're there. We've reached. It'll just be praise and worship and thanksgiving, glory, honor. I believe it's an unimaginable experience. I don't know if I should do this or not. I love that one song that we sang the first two evenings. It's the number 2 in the folder. And I wouldn't mind singing that. Someone that would want to lead that song. The last verse, think about that. It talks about a little bit about that when we're, is it around the throne? I'm not sure exactly how it's worded. But if someone would want to lead that song, and we'll sing that together.
Thank you.
just love the message of that song. Thrills my soul. I was blessed the first night when you sang it. It's a new one to me. But someday around the throne, in perfect harmony, we can praise him with our heart and voice, the one that set us free. We can do it now, but it'll be perfect then. Perfect then. Wonder number 5. Perfect understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul says, beginning at verse 9, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." I don't know what all we're going to learn in heaven. It's one of the blessings, one of the beauties of heaven's. It's still to be learned. And you know, I don't know how it's going to be there when we get there either. Are we going to know it all right away? I tend to think probably not. You know, I wonder if heaven isn't going to be a time of learning throughout eternity. If it isn't, I think it's going to at least be a time of amazement throughout eternity. An understanding that supersedes anything that we can understand here now. You know, now we need faith, but then it'll be reality. We won't need faith anymore. We'll be there. I like to think of it as when we get to heaven, you know, there's so many questions we have today, so many things we don't understand. When we get there, that question mark will be taken away, and in its place is an exclamation point, exclamation mark. God teaching us, revealing himself throughout all eternity. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. We understand just a little bit of it today, don't we? Yes, we do, as God's children. But I think we'll marvel throughout eternity at the vastness and the exceeding riches of the grace of God for us. I don't know if we'll think, I don't know how much we'll think back. I don't know what we'll understand. I don't think if we'll think of this old earth and some of the things we experienced here or not. Other than the fact there's one thing I do believe that we'll think back to some extent, and that is the fact that we were redeemed from our sins. The beauty of the redemption of Jesus Christ. I think it's the theme of our praise throughout eternity. We won't forget that. We may forget about all the trials and the things that we thought were hard here. I don't know. We might forget all about that. Good possibility. But that's one thing we won't forget. It'll be the theme of our worship. Perfect understanding. Wonder number 6. It is forever. It's forever. When we get there, it's forever. And if your mind can grasp that, I'd like you to explain it to me, but I can't understand forever. Forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." What a comfort. You know, that's often quoted. It's often read at times of, well, at funerals or times when loved ones pass on. And it's a very appropriate scripture for that. But it's forever. You know, the things we know here and now end. They come to an end. This week of revival meetings, tonight is the end. This is the last service. We have family reunions. They last a day or two, and they come to an end. Your youth go to Bible school, it a good experience. It's a wonderful thing. If you have the opportunity, go. But you know, it comes to an end. 3 weeks, whatever your term is, it comes to an end. We get a hold of a really good book, and we read it, and we just so get so engrossed in it. We just really like this book. It's got us all caught up in the story. And you know, finally we come to the last page. And it says the end. And it's kind of disappointing, because we really enjoyed the book. We talked about it the other evening, that life is brief. There's a day coming when it's the end. And it's the last day we take our last breath. Everything here that we know that has to do with time and sense, it comes to an end, but not heaven. When we get there, it's forever. As the songwriter said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Can't imagine. Just, I can't grasp that. You may have heard the little explanation too, which is just an attempt. But you know, to try to think of forever, it's vast. You know, we think of a million years, and that's another song we sometimes sing. Where will you be a million years from now? But you know, years have to do with this life. After this life is over, it's eternity, and there is no time. It's gone. It's just forever. But the illustration of the bird, you know, there's many, many grains of sand on the seashore. But you know, if a bird would take a grain of sand and fly from here, and I guess you could use any illustration, but from here to the moon, we can't imagine a bird doing that even with one grain of sand. But if the bird did that, the whole earth could be carried to the moon, and eternity would still go on. It's eternal. We can't grasp it. Our minds are too small. But in heaven, it's forever. There is no end. Wonder number 7. The psalmist says in Psalm 17, verse 15, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The marvel of when we actually get there. The wonder of when we realize we are there. I'm there. This is what we lived for. This is what we talked about. This is what we encouraged each other to be faithful for, to be faithful in the battle, to struggle on. It's worth it. And to know we're there. I'm home. It's all over. All this earth, temptation, the struggles, the battles, the trials, everything that has to do with this life is past, and I'm home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What wonderful words those will be to hear. What a wonder to know that we're home. We're home. It's not a dream. It's not a mirage. It's not even just a goal anymore. It's reality. We're there. It'll certainly be worth it all. What a wonder. In John chapter 14, we have the words of Jesus. This was an encouragement to his disciples. Familiar words. But he was encouraging his disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a blessing this evening. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And I trust tonight that as you go through life, you'll keep that vision, you'll keep that goal. Heaven, the wonders that are there, and we just scratch the surface. I am sure there's many more wonders in heaven than these 7. But praise God, there is a place prepared for us. if we are faithful, if we endure unto the end. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for Jesus. We thank you tonight for the plan of salvation, that we can have our sins and our iniquities forgiven, washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you tonight that you have a place prepared for those who are faithful unto the end. Help us, Lord, as Abraham and Moses and other saints of old, to keep our vision where it ought to be, to keep our focus on the goal, and not allow anything, any trials, any temptations, any allurements that the devil through the world and our flesh might try to bring before our eyes to get us off track. Lord, help us not to get sidetracked, but to keep our focus on you and on the goal. Thank you for your provision that we can someday enjoy this blessed and wonderful reward for faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.